of this organization by virtue of the fact that the duly elected president, Stephen Tounzer, because of the pressure of other work, resigned. So as president, I welcome you to the 7th annual meeting of the Philadelphia Society. It seems hard to believe that we've been going for so long. Our previous meetings have been devoted to such subjects as the state of the universities, civil rights. One was called Enduring Values in a Changing World. In choosing the subject of this meeting, a post-liberal America, I can't help but wonder whether we weren't being unduly optimistic. The liberals haven't abdicated yet by any means, and when they do, judging, for example, by the state of the educational establishment, which has been almost an exclusive liberal preserve for more than a generation, will there be anything left to talk about? But optimism is a virtue, and conservatives are supposed to be virtuous. Writing in the Freeman in the early 1920s, it must have been no later than 1924, because it was in that year that the old Freeman ceased publication, Albert J. Nock remarked, possibly anticipating even then a post-liberal America, "We cannot help remembering that this was a liberal's war, a liberal's peace, and that the present state of things is the consummation of a fairly long, fairly extensive, and extremely expensive experiment with liberalism in political power." Since then, I don't need to point out, we have had several more liberal wars, including the war on poverty, such liberal efforts at peacemaking as Tehran, Yalta, and Potsdam, and a very long and far more costly than anything Nock ever dreamed of, experiment with liberalism in political power. We may be unduly optimistic in doing so, but it does seem about time that we do begin to think about what a post-liberal America might be like, which we shall now proceed to do. So I'll turn the meeting over to Professor Ben Rogge, who is the chairman this afternoon.